that, but we know that he's coming as a thief in the night. It says in verse 2, we looked at verse 3, they're going to say peace and safety, but then sudden destruction. And he says here in verse 4, he says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, you know better. You're not in darkness. This is not unknown to you. You're not unaware of this. Paul had taught them. We looked at that last week. We have no excuse to not be ready for the Lord's coming. And that's the same with you and I. We are not in darkness. We have more of the Word of God than the church of Thessalonica had, than Paul had. We know he's coming. We know the signs. We know the seasons that we're in. We know it's close. We know he's coming suddenly. We know he's coming as a thief. And we know that many are going to fall away before he's come. I believe that's happened. We know there's going to be perilous times. I believe we're living in those perilous times. We have no excuse. We have no reason why he should come and find us unprepared, unready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming like a thief in the night, but we know that, and therefore we should be ready. And he goes on in verse 5, and he says this, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now listen, he is not writing this to the world. There's people that say we're all children of God. That is not true. He's writing it to the church at Thessalonica. To be part of the church, you had to be saved. You had to be born again by the grace of God. Yet they had to have a time in their life. They trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone to save them from their sins. And so as he's writing to the church, to a group of believers, those who had trusted Christ to save them, that were children of God, he said this, ye are the children of light. He said, we're not of the night nor of darkness, but there are those, many in the world today, you know what they are? They're children of the night. They're children of darkness. And these next few verses, what you see is you see the children of light and you see the children of darkness. He said there, we are not of the night nor of darkness. He said, verse 7, they that sleep, sleep in the night. Verse 6, he said, let us not sleep as do others. Verse 8, he said, let us who are of the day. Listen, we're not supposed to be, if we're saved, we're not children of darkness. The Bible says this about the children of darkness in Ephesians 4. Verse 18, the Bible says, having the understanding darkened. You ever talk to somebody? I think Brother Keeper just told me today about a man who claims to be an atheist. You know what's wrong with that man? His understanding is darkened. Maybe it's true ignorance. Maybe it's willful ignorance. I've talked to people who say, I don't believe in hell. You know what they are? Their understanding is darkened. I've talked to them and said, well, I believe it's a point system to get to heaven. I think I've got enough points to get to heaven. You know what's wrong with them? Their understanding is darkened. Miss Lori, I've talked to people who said, man, I'm Catholic. I go to the Catholic Church. And they thought they were getting to heaven. Why? Their understanding is darkened. I've talked to young people brought up in good, independent, fundamental Baptist churches. You know what they say? I prayed a prayer and I got baptized and I'm going to heaven. And you look at their life and they're living as children of darkness. You know what's wrong with them? Their understanding is darkened. For some, it's darkened concerning heaven and hell. For some, it's darkened concerning Jesus Christ as the only Savior of the world. For some, it's darkened that they're not that bad. They think they're pretty good because they help old ladies across the street. And they've never thrown a stone through their neighbor's window, you understand. And they never murdered anybody. And they never robbed the bank. And they do good in school. And so therefore, they think they're good. And they believe that self-righteousness is going to make them okay with God. But their understanding is darkened. For some, it's darkened that they think going to church is going to get them to heaven. Or being baptized is going to get them to heaven. Or being brought up in a good home is going to get them to heaven. There's those who think they're going to die one day and all of life ends at death. And their understanding is darkened that life does not end at death. It truly just begins at death. Some are, their understanding's darkened concerning who Jesus Christ is. He said, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Do you remember being like that? And for a while, you didn't even know you were like that. Aren't you thankful for the day the light of the gospel of God began to shine down into your heart? They're blinded. Their understanding is darkened. We're talking about children of darkness. Their foolish heart is darkened. They're ignorant. They're alienated from God. They're not right with God. They don't know God. God is not their father. They're associated with the nighttime. The nighttime, it's a time of stumbling. The Lord said in John 11, if you walk at night, you stumble. Well, you see a lot of people and they're going about life and they're stumbling about. And boy, they're trying to grab on to anything and everything to keep themselves from stumbling. And that one little good thing they happen to do, boy, they grab onto that as if it's a sign that everything's good while they continue to stumble along in life, lost in the dark. Romans 13, verses 12 and 13 tells us the darkness is a time when works of evil and darkness are done. John 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus when by night. Why'd he do it? It was secret. He was ashamed. He was afraid that others would see him. The nighttime's a time of secrecy. It's a time in John 9, verse 4, we see where no work is done. The Bible says this in Luke 1, talking about a coming Christ to give light. One of the things Christ wanted to do was to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. You ever sit in darkness for a long time? After a while, your eyes get a little bit accustomed and you can make out some objects and some things. And you can actually, if you sit in darkness long enough, you can think you see just fine. You know, that's how we were. We were sitting in darkness. You know what we thought? We could see some shapes and figures. We thought we could see just fine. But I'm telling you, when somebody walks in that dark room and turns on a bright light, you know what you quickly realize? You realize you weren't seeing so well and you're instantly blinded by that light. You remember when God shined that light down into your wicked heart and showed you you were lost. You were not a child of God. Not only were you not a child of God, you were a child of the devil. And you were a mere heartbeat, a breath away from eternity in hell. You were lost without God, without hope in this present world. Aren't you glad for the light that shined into our darkness? But many, they sit in darkness today and they've been in it so long, they think that they can see. They think they know their true condition. They think that they know how well they're doing and they're not. You know what they need? They need the light. We sing that song, send the light. Why do we send the light? Because people are in darkness. The whole world lies in darkness. Chances are there's someone even this morning in our midst, they're in darkness. They need the light. He said, but we're not the darkness. We are children of light. What makes you a child of light? You become a child of light when you believe the light. John chapter 12, verse 36, the Bible says, while ye have light, believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus. Then he said in verse 46, he said, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. How do you become a child of light? You go to church, you join the church, you pray a prayer, you get baptized, you change your life around. No, you believe in the light. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not reject Him. You do not refuse Him. You know what you do? You believe by believing. You're admitting that He's right, that you're wrong, that you're lost, that He is the only hope that you have. And that's what the world needs. That's how you and I became children of light. We believed in the light. We stopped believing that we were pretty good, that we were good church kids, that we were already saved when we were lost. And we believed in the light and God saved us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I think sometimes God's people forget how good it is to be in His marvelous light, that have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why would you ever want to go back to the darkness? Why would you ever lose the thankfulness and the glory that God gave you light? Man, that life of darkness, remember how wicked and how degraded you were and how lost and ignorant and miserable and hopeless and mean. And I mean, you were horrible. And thank God for the light. And believing in the light, it changed our life. So I wasn't really that bad. Then you're probably still in darkness. You need to believe in the light. The word of God is light. The Bible said in Psalms 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Aren't you glad for the Word of God that showed you how to live? Showed you what paths to take, what paths not to take. Before the Word of God, before the light of the Word of God, and without it today, we have no idea. We wouldn't know. We would go right when we're supposed to go left every time. I know some of you don't agree with that, but you'd probably do it one time out of 10, but you'd do it right 9 out of 10, but it still won't be good enough. We'd go straight when we're supposed to turn. We'd go backwards when we're supposed to go straight. We'd go the wrong way. It is not in man to direct his own paths. Thank God for the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." Hey, I ask you, church, are you taking heed to that more sure word of prophecy? Are you listening to it? Are you obeying its warnings? Are you taking heed when it says something? Are you taking it as serious as it actually is? Or is it optional? Is it buffet style in your life? Take a little of this, leave a little of that. Maybe a little bit later. He says, as a light that shineth in a dark place. Thank God for the Word of God. The Bible says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As I already mentioned, that Word of God was used to show us we were lost. We were going to hell. Jesus Christ was the only one who could save us. That we had to repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, it says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Children of darkness, they believed the light. You know what happened? We believed the light. We were changed. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness is powerful. Listen, you can witness somebody who's lost. And boy, you know why they're not just getting saved every time they finally hear the truth? Because there is a power of darkness. Darkness is deceiving. You ever been deceived by darkness? That's why you've smashed your toe in the dresser in the middle of the night in a bedroom you've been in a million times. Because you were deceived. You thought it was good. But darkness had you disoriented. He says, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Translate us. He changed us. That happened. If you were delivered from the power of darkness and made a child of light, you were translated. You were changed. That is an obvious change. It's an evident change. It's a marvelous, amazing, miraculous change. Yet someone who has never been changed, how can they claim to be a child of light? I mean, you go from the power of darkness, a child of Satan, to a child of light, a child of God. How do you keep that secret in hid? How does that not affect your life, all aspects of your life? And I understand people can backslide, but I've always heard preach, you've got to front slide first before you can backslide. If you've never done anything, how do you backslide when you never went forward? You've got to go forward before you can go backwards. Some people have done nothing. They claim that backslid, but that's all they've done their whole life. Listen, when there's no fruit, it's hard to believe somebody's a child of light. Not that I'm the ultimate authority, but there should be fruit that you can see. John chapter 8 said, Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The children of light, they're children of the day, it says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What's that mean? That means we don't need the cover of darkness for our actions. It means we don't live a life that is best lived at night. And you understand, he's not just talking strictly about not doing anything at night, but he's showing you a truth here that it's a daytime. You know what daytime does? It reveals. It's open. It's evident. There's no shame. There's no hiding. There's no embarrassment about what you're doing. You're saved and what you're doing, you're willing to do it for God. And you don't have to have a little bit of secrecy, or you don't have to hide because you're not guilty anymore. You've been washed in the blood of Christ. You're a child of God. And when you're trying to follow the Word of God, you're not ashamed of the things that you're doing. but you start trying to do things and you got to start hiding things and trying not to let everybody find out what you're doing. You know why it is? It's because you're starting to flirt with the world a little bit and you don't want that to get out there. And I'm telling you, when you live as a child of God, as children of light, there's no shame in how we live. Some people, they don't want anybody to know about what they're doing. Why is that? Children of the day, not children of the light. See, when we're children of light, we allow the light to reveal our actions. Reveal. We come to the light that makes manifest who we are because we live according to the light of the Word of God. Listen, I'm not talking about telling everybody all your business. I'm talking about your life that you live, your Christian life. I don't need to know what you had for lunch 3 days ago. Don't need to post your snack on your social media. I'm not saying that. Don't call me to tell me every time you had to use the restroom. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your Christian life. There's people that go places and they don't want anybody to know they went there. And it's because it's shameful. Amen. It's questionable. They do things. They say things. They hang out with people. They fellowship and they do these things. And there's this guilt there. And it's because you're not walking as when you walk as a child of life, there's no guilt. There's no hiding. Young people, when you start, got to start hiding things from your parents. I'm not talking about a Christmas gift. When you got to start hiding things from your parents, something is wrong. And you and what's wrong is you don't want them to find out because it is wrong. And you're guilty about it and you're shameful and therefore you're trying to hide it. Somebody says, hey, now we can't tell our parents about this. That is wrong. You need to run from that. That is living like a child of darkness. Now that we are a child of God, children of light, you know what we can now have that we could not have before? We can now have fellowship with God. We hear lost people talk about how they've been talking to God. You know what I know that is? It's a one-way conversation. There is no fellowship for a child of darkness to have with the Holy God. You can only have fellowship with the Holy God through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you think lost people can pray? Sure they can pray. You think God hears their prayers? Listen, I'm not going to get into all that with you, but there is no fellowship with God outside of walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I did before I was saved many times? I prayed many times. I read my Bible, I prayed. But you know what I did not have when I was 13 years old? I had no fellowship with God. You know what God was? He was a distant. He's a distant. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but he was dark in that I was ignorant. He was a dark figure to me. I didn't know him. It was very formal. It was somebody you went to church and heard about, but no practical knowledge of who or what he was. I didn't know what fellowship with God was. I didn't know what that was. I knew Bible verses. I knew all that. You understand? I could sing the songs from heart. I knew people who were dressed right, weren't dressed right. I knew it all, but I did not know what fellowship with God was. Boy, you see people today, they talk about God and you wonder if they've ever had any fellowship with him. He's like this distant figure they really don't know about. There's like a mystique about him. And I know he's holy and just, but listen, I have fellowship with him. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'll tell you this. If you're saved, but you're living in darkness and your life is not right, there's no fellowship with God. According to that verse, what do you need then? You need the blood of Christ to cleanse you from your sin so you can have fellowship with God the Father. Not only that, if you get saved, become a child of light, you can have fellowship with other children of the day. Isn't that a blessing? You know, before you were saved, you didn't really want to have much fellowship with children of the day. Now, you know, maybe a church kid, that's all you knew were children of the day. But I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you adults, you wouldn't have been caught dead in an independent Baptist church like this before you were saved. You wouldn't have come here. These people here, they've been weird. They've been holy rollers. They wouldn't have been any fun. And now you fellowship with them. How do you do that? You do it because now you're a child of light and they're a child of light. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 6:14. I referenced it last week. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? It's an obvious answer. It's none. There is none. Hey, if you claim to be a child of light, let me ask you this. How do you get along with other children of light? There's those that are in darkness that, or that have turned away from the light. 1 John 2:9 says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Listen, not only as a child of darkness about being lost and a child of Satan, but there's a darkness you can walk in as a saved person. 1 John, he's writing, he says, my little children, he's writing to Christians. He says you can get in a place where you are living in darkness. You ever see, it doesn't matter if you have, but it's happened many times. There's saved people and you watch their lives and they make bad decisions. They do wrong things. And you know what it is? They're living in darkness. Why are they? Because their heart is not right. They're not right with somebody. They're not right with God. They've allowed something in their life that is wrong and has brought darkness, spiritual darkness into their life. They can talk about somebody and they're the most wonderful person and they're a heathen. How do you do that? You're in darkness. And then they can talk about another brother or sister in Christ and they're the devil incarnate. How do you do that? You're in darkness. They can justify wrongdoing and justify why they did not do what was right. How do you do that? You're in darkness. You can be saved and be living in darkness this morning. You can be have your understanding darkened. You can make wrong decisions. You can go wrong places. You can have wrong priorities and be saved and be convinced you're doing right. And nobody's going to tell you any different unless God touches your heart. Says, hey, you're in darkness. You know how he's going to do it? He's going to do it while you're sleeping. He's going to show you a bright light from heaven. No, he's going to do it through the light of the Word of God. He's going to shine it in your heart like he did when you got saved. He's going to shine it on that condition, that thing that is wrong. He's going to show you the truth of the Word of God. And we're either going to receive that light and come to the light and get right, or we're going to reject that light and continue in darkness, making wrong decisions, going wrong places, making a mess of our life because we're in darkness. We need to walk as children of light. Isaiah 2:5 says, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We read in 1 John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So now that we're children of the light, we need to walk as children. There's no guarantee you are this morning, even though you might be a child of light. And let me say this, a child of light ought to walk different than a child of darkness. Back there in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, he says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. There's three kinds of sleep, and I think I mentioned this. There's an actual physical sleep, what some are doing now. There's a spiritual sleep, which some are probably doing now. And that also speaks of death. And we covered that last week. And here he's talking about a spiritual sleep. He's not talking about sleeping physically. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. There's those that, spiritually speaking, have fallen asleep. Are they saved? Yes. Are they physically alive? Yes. Are they on fire for God? Are they full of zeal and fervency for God? No. They're asleep. You could be here this morning in your nice Sunday clothes with your King James Bible, having put your faith promise and tithes in. You could be asleep spiritually. See, to be asleep, you're unaware of things. Some of you, there's areas in your life that are wrong. Well, I'm not declaring wrong. The Word of God has declared them wrong. Things that you are against the Word of God. But you seem to be unaware to it. How does that happen? You're asleep. There's things you do that violate the Word of God. And you seem to be unaware to it. How does that happen? You've fallen asleep. You know what you need? You need woke up. You ever notice some people in a physical sense are a lot harder to wake up than other people? Anybody ever here ever notice that? When I was a teenager, I was a hard person to wake up. I could have had a bomb go off next to me. I probably would have slept through it. Seriously, I remember one night up in New York. So I was probably 19, 20. I remember we had a dog, probably like 20. That dog had puppies in the middle of the night. Remember this? They're all up. Kids are up. I mean, they're all excited. I slept right through it. Next day, I'm wondering why nobody woke me up to share in the excitement. They had tried, but I have more important things to do, sleep. I'll tell you, this is a scary story. Brother Barry was in Newport with Dad, and when Dad went up to New York to preach for those people, when he had resigned in Newport, it was 1995, probably March, I was about 16, March or April, I guess is when you went up to preach for them. I was almost 17, but 16. And he went up on a Saturday, went up to preach up in New York. And we were all praying we weren't going to New York because we don't go out west. Amen. And that shows how much the mind of God we had. I don't think Mom wanted to go after the place they put him in anyways. So Dad took the family. You know, we all still at home and they went up. But I worked and I was going to work that Saturday. And Brother Bear's wife was ready to have a baby. She was great with child with their second. They had a little girl. She was a couple years old maybe at the time. So I stayed home and they went up there and all like that. And that Sunday night, about, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, Mrs. Bear went in labor. Mom and Dad were driving back that night, I believe. So they were just a couple hours from home, probably. And so they had nowhere to take the little girl. So they were going to drop her off at the house. I was going to put her in bed and Mom and Dad were going to be home. They came. They knocked on my door. I answered the door. The little girl went in bed. I went back to bed. And the next morning, I woke up and I had no recollection. What I didn't know, nobody had come to my house. Nobody had knocked on the door. I didn't know there was anybody else in the house but me. Here, not only she had come, my parents had come home. And I had no I was asleep, man. I was busy sleeping. Some people, I know that's a terrible story. Some of you look at me like, I'm sorry, I didn't remember. It's much different now. Now I wake up. You ever wake up in the middle of the night where you think you're praying it's the middle of the night and you're praying the alarm is hours away and you lay there for 2 minutes and the alarm goes off? It's like, Lord, why'd you put me in the flesh first thing in the morning? I mean, just let me sleep. Those last 2 minutes are very crucial minutes of sleep. Some are harder to wake up. Boy, some you shake them. You scream at them. When I was a teenager, I'd have put my alarm clock across the room on a dresser because if it was near me, I could turn it off and never even know anything had happened. Why do we have services? Why do we have special meetings? Because we fall asleep. There's some of us right here today, there's things in our life we're asleep to. I mean, we're just snoring away, totally unaware to how wrong we are in areas of our life. Now, sometimes we're aware and we resist it, but that's a spiritual sleep. He said, let us not sleep. Don't sleep as do others. Just because others are doing it doesn't make it right. What's it mean to be sleeping? It means to be slothful. Proverbs 19 says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. You get lazy in your life. You stop doing things you know you ought to be doing. You know what you've done? You've fallen asleep to those things. Slumber means being in a state of negligence, sloth, or inactivity. Bible says his watchmen are blind in Isaiah 56, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Some of you, you love to neglect what you're supposed to be diligent in. Some have become very slothful in their duties as a Christian, as a child of God, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child, as a brother and sister in Christ. Some of us, we've just become inactive in things we used to be active in. And now we're inactive. You know why? Because we're asleep. Not physically. Many of us physically, boy, we're burning that candle on both ends. I mean, we're doing all we can to attain everything and make as much money as we can and have as many hobbies and visit as many people and just live our life to the fullest and have as much joy as we can. And then in a spiritual sense, we're just there and we're asleep towards the things of God. Why is the world in such a mess that it's in? Part of the reason the church, I say generally, has been asleep at the wheel, if you may, is to neglect our duty. In Luke 22, the Lord came back to the disciples. Remember, they were sleeping while he's praying. He says, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. When we sleep, we neglect our duties. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, awake to righteousness and sin not. Listen, to live unrighteously is the idea of falling asleep spiritually. To sleep spiritually is not to know the presence of God. You know, there's some people, I don't believe they're very familiar with the presence of God. Jacob, Genesis 28, said Jacob waked out of sleep, said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. There's people who have to say that in the church. Some people don't know if God's there, God's not there. They don't know why he left or why he came or what would hinder him, what would not hinder him. Asleep means you don't know about the presence of God. Samson, remember when he's laying on the lap of Delilah? That's not a good place to be. You lay your head in the lap of the world, you're going to lose so much. And he said this, you know it. He woke out of sleep, said, I will go out as at other times before. You know what some people do? They lay their head in the lap of the world. They come and say, I'm going to go to church as I have so many times before. I'm going to serve as I have many times before. I'm going to do this ministry. I'm going to give this offering. I'm going to offer this prayer. I'm going to go to church just like I have my whole life or for so many years. And Samson said this, he knew not that the Lord was apart from him. There's people come and they go, and some of them were involved in ministries and they had no idea. There's no God on them. And somebody with a little discernment walked with God, looked at them, said, no God on them. Dead. You know what they think? I'm doing a wonderful job. I ought to be given more responsibility. Truth is, you shouldn't have any. And while our head is in the lap of the world, addicted to the devices of the world, deceived by the allurements and pleasures and people of the world, we've lost the presence of God. And what's worse, we don't even know it. And it happened while we slept. We can go around and we can be self-righteous and we can be judgmental and we can be proud and we can think highly of ourselves and there's no God. You know what Samson thought? I'll do everything just like I used to. I'll carry the gates. I'll kill 1,000 men with a jawbone. I'll have the power of God. I'll do the work of God. I'll be victorious. And there was no God on his life anymore. And he ended up in bondage. Says the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. That's a bad place. And it goes, this is in Isaiah 20. It goes down and it says in the next verse, the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. When they're sleeping, there's no vision. Some people have no vision. No, should I say, they have no spiritual vision. Where's your vision? Do you have a vision? Without a vision, the people perish. Do you have a vision? Do you have a spiritual vision? Say, yeah, I think God's going to bless me with a better job and I'm going to have a nicer house and I'm going to get that car I want and that person not right with me, they're going to get right with me. Have you noticed something in this? It's all about you and you profiting. That's not a spiritual vision. Where's your vision? What is your vision this morning? I don't know. Guess I'm just living day by day, just trying to make it through day by day. I mean, that's how you have to live day by day. But where's your vision? What God is going to do and wants to do, and wants to use you and I to do. I don't have one. Maybe you're asleep. We should not see. We say, therefore, let us not sleep, but let us watch and be sober. It's serious. Very serious what we're doing. Those in the night, they sleep in the night. They're drunken in the night. They live their shameful, sinful lives in the night. In the day, we're supposed to be sober. We looked at that. We're supposed to watch. Listen, I hope here this morning that we're not spiritually asleep. You don't want the Lord to come back while you're sleeping spiritually. He told the three when he came back from praying in the garden, they were asleep. He said, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. Listen, when you're sleeping spiritually, there's greater temptation, I believe, because you're not right with God. He's coming We know He's coming. We're not in the darkness. We know better. He's coming suddenly. He's coming soon. But yet at times we still can fall asleep and get distracted and not be ready for the Lord's coming. If you're not saved this morning, you're not ready for the Lord's coming. Amen. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed here this morning. The Lord spoke to your heart. The altar's open. If you're not saved, it'd be a good day to get saved. Somebody talk to you if you need to get saved. If you're right with God, somebody would talk to you.